It's lovely to me how so often the church calendar parallels or coincides with the earth's calendar. Right? Think about how during Advent, as we prepare our hearts and our minds for the coming of Jesus, that it simultaneously gets darker and darker outside. In fact, the longest night of darkness in the entire year occurs right before Jesus comes, right before the light of the world comes and illuminates everything. And now, during Lent, as we are preparing our hearts and our lives for the death and resurrection of Jesus, new life is bursting forth all around us. The daffodils and the hyacinths are blooming. The forsythias are a golden yellow. Even on cloudy and rainy days like yesterday, the brightness of them looks like sunshine in our yards. I've got two Bradford pear trees in my yard that in the last week have gone from teeny tiny buds to very full and beautiful white blooms. Creation will continue to bring forth new and beautiful life all throughout the 50-day season of Easter. Creation's way, I think of praising God for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we talked about in the children's sermon how all of creation praises God. We hear things like this in the Psalms, but I wonder how many of us really think about it. When we hear the wind blowing outside, when we look at the beautiful flowers, as the green grass starts to grow. Sometimes I think when my dog George lays on his back and wallows on the grass that maybe that's his way of praising God and having delight in the world around him. Today, I want us to think about John 3:16 and 3:17, about how God so loves the world that God sent Jesus to save it. And I want us to explore these two verses a little bit more in the context of Lent, as we are preparing ourselves and as creation is preparing itself for Jesus' death and resurrection. So there are three things that I want to lift up for us to ponder about these two verses. First, we cannot think about verse 16 without verse 17. They were never, ever meant to be separated. In fact, I know many of us have verse 16 memorized. Ideally, we would also memorize verse 17. So that they would always, always go together. Because you can't understand one without the other. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn it, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The emphasis on these verses is God's love. It's not condemnation, it's God's love. Because these verses, although they've been used in this way, they are never about contempt or exclusion. They are a proclamation of God's love for the whole world. For all of creation. God didn't send the Son into the world to condemn it, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Second, let's look at the tiny word, so. The Greek word in verse 16 that is translated into so means in this way. Which is how the word so was used in 17th century English when the first English translation of the Bible came about. However, in modern English, we use the word so to mean very. Right? I love you so much. I love you very much. You are so smart. You're very smart. Or think of little kids. How big are you? So big, right? You're this big. You're very big. That means with our modern use of the word so, we think that verse 16 says, God loved the world very much. And while that's very true, that's not what verse 16 is saying. The Greek word that is translated as so means in this way. So verse 16 actually says, for God loved the world in this way, that God gave us Jesus. God loved the world in this way, that God gave us God's very self. God loved the world in this way, by becoming human. God loved the world in this way, graciously, mercifully, faithfully. God loved the world in this way. And last but certainly not least, God sent Jesus into the world to save it. The Greek word that we translate as world four times in these two verses is cosmos. Cosmos means the entire created world. Everything that God created. Sun and moon, stars, mountains, valleys, rivers, oceans, trees, grass, animals, plants. Every single thing that God created is contained in the cosmos. And so the verse says, for God loves the cosmos in this way. But again, we've sometimes mistranslated and misinterpreted this verse to limit God's love and salvation. Right? The whole creation and everything it contains is the scope of God's salvation, not just humankind. We know that Jesus saves us as humans. That is true. But again, that's not what this verse is saying either. It's saying that God loves the cosmos. God loves everything that God created. Sisters and brothers, all of creation is loved by God, and it has deep value to God because God created it and God redeems it, all of it. Jesus' death and resurrection affects the whole earth, the entire creation. Jesus, who was executed as a criminal among criminals, who suffered injustice and humiliation and shame on the cross, Jesus has brought God's reign of justice and love and mercy to all of creation. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus conquered sin, darkness, death, and in doing so, he saves the entire cosmos. And so if I were to translate this verse, I might do it in this way. For God loved everything that God created. The sun and the moon, the stars, the mountains and the valleys, rivers and oceans, humankind, fish, birds, cats, dogs, rabbits, insects, cows, horses, and every other kind of animal. God loves trees and grass, daffodils and tulips and zinnias and dahlias, and every other flower and plant that God created. For God loved everything that God created in this way. In this gracious and merciful and faithful way, by giving us Jesus. In this gracious and merciful and faithful way, God entered into life on earth by becoming human. Not to condemn everything that God created, but in order that everything, absolutely everything that God created, might be saved. Thanks be to God for a love like this. Amen.